What's up, Evan? Where you at, dude?
I'm in New York, baby.
Right on, brother. What's going on over there? You're in the motherfucking epicenter, huh?
That's right. I feel a little corona on my shoulder right now. But
hey, listen, fucking hey, around Cinco de Mayo, it just means fucking cheaper beer for us. So that fucking corona. They go, hey, nobody's gonna drink corona. And they go, and then they're all fucking outside by the truck. Well, not nobody. That shit, dude. They're gonna eat that shit up. And what do you do, man? You're in the business, right?
I am. So the long story short is I've been, you know, a writer, producer, music, artist, everything on an independent level, obviously. And I went all in. I worked my ass off to save money in different businesses, being a crazy entrepreneur. And I built out $1 million studio, film set, animators, staff. I'm in Long Island technically, so I was able to get this big 6,000 square foot spot. Yeah. And what sucks is, man, everyone, all these creators out here are driving Uber, working at Target. They're doing all these things that are not related to create, because they, you know, they got to get by.
Before we get to anything, since you're on that vibe right there, yeah, why don't you tell everybody a little, and you can, we'll go past the 15 minutes. Don't worry about that.
Thank you.
Tell people about your story from the beginning. If you got a spot like that,
I do,
and nobody's using it, and all these cats, man, writers are, they're fucking doing Grubhub, and they're doing Postmates, and you got a spot there that people can use, and use immediately. It's not like, you know, but that's, I think, you know, of all the, I think you did the right thing, you know, in business like this, when somebody gets one thing, like, you know, Cheech told me, years ago, we had known each other for 12 years, and I had just done TV shows, Arsenio, nothing ever other than stand-up. And then we were playing golf in the 90s, and he's like, hey, man, you know, he goes, what's going to happen? Like, it's going to take like a long time, and then you're going to get like the one thing. And then when you get the one thing, he goes, you just got to get one thing. I remember he said, he goes, because we were like, we're trying to work, and we got one thing. And from that one thing, it sounds like, I go, one thing, and they turn the whole movies. And I couldn't get that fucking one thing. I auditioned for Murphy Brown, I auditioned for TV shows, the internet was just starting, none of that was available. But I remember that I got home from San Francisco, and I was married, and my wife says to me, I got home like 11:30. You know, she never really knew how deteriorated I was. She says, you know, I want to try to get home by noon. I'm like, yeah, piece of cake, San Francisco to LA. But I was up all night, you know, fucking hanging by a thread. Every Sunday was recovery day. So I get back, and she's like, hey, you got an audition tomorrow in Santa Monica. And I'm like, I'm not going. And she's like, it's tomorrow. And it's not even an audition. You just got to go meet the guy. This director from London, Ken Loach. I don't know who that is. I go, I'm not going. So after like 3 hours of sitting, watching golf probably, I'm like, you know what? I'm going. So I go there. There's some other dudes in there. British guy. Thin. Oh, hello. So we say hello. He liked that I wasn't from Mexico. He liked that I was American, but I spoke some Spanish. He said, this character doesn't speak Spanish very well. So he brings in a cop, and I'm still friends with the guy. And I hadn't acted in fucking since Ski Patrol in 10 years. The guy goes, how about if you guys, let's say it was a situation where he's a truck driver and you're the manager and you give him no quarter, like don't give no quarter. I remember he said no quarter. And I'm like, what does no quarter mean? Like, he's like, no, you're not going to take anything from him. So Greg says, you know, you wanted to see me. And I said, I don't know how many times I have to tell you that, first of all, show up on time. And secondly, finish on time. I'm fucking around in here. This is the fourth time you've been in here. And he's like, you know what, man? You don't know. I said, listen, don't tell me. And we're going at it. And we're like this, worker and boss. Wow. And he comes in the middle. He's like, yes, that's fine. That's fine. Fine. Great. Great. Great, guys. Great. He got the part. And I had an audition with this girl. So he doesn't tell the girl what I'm going to say. He comes to me and he says, now, I would like for you to tell she has a kid that's sick and she's been missing work and you call her in the office because she's trying to get over on you. You're not about your term. So I said, all right. And the chair was facing where she was going to walk in. And he said, are you guys ready? He was sitting in the room with another producer. And I turned my back to the door and I was looking out the window with my arms crossed like this. And he goes, action. And the door opens and I have my back turned. Oh, and she goes, you wanted to see me? And I go, sit down. I didn't move. I went like this, sit down. And then it was silent. And I said, either I'm going to turn around and she's going to be standing up. She's going to be like, fuck you. You're not going to tell me to sit down. Or I'm going to turn around and she's going to be sitting down. Right. So I'm standing. Remember, I'm not even trained. This is just an improv. It's like all the shit that was like good for me. In a guy who's won Palme d'Or movies in France, wow. who is a genuine, just an artist, like a director,
right.
No makeup, wardrobe, nothing, none of the other actors know how long they're going to be in the movie. You could be one day, you could be the whole movie, you could be 3 days. So I go, sit down. I turn around. Not only is she sitting down, but she's sitting down, leaning forward, with her hands between her legs, like, what, am I in trouble? And I said, what's going on with your kid? And she says, my kid is sick. I said, you know what? You know how many times I've heard that bullshit? And she's like, I said, you know what? I got a kid. We all got a sick kid.
That's right.
But we all got to work, all right? And you fuck, get your ass back out there and go to work. And I want you on time. Yo, fuck, get your mom to watch your kid.
Yeah.
He's like, I did. Done. I get in the car. I'm leaving. I think cell phones had just... I think I got home. Got home and said, hey, the guy Joe wants you to call him. Call him up. And he goes, yes, we tried to catch you before you left. Like they were looking, they were running outside looking for me. They go, you got it.
Wow.
Congratulations. And I was like, the one thing. And I called Cheech and I got his voicemail. And I said, hey, man, I got the thing. And he called me back and he goes, hey, I got this. Now everything. And you know what? That one thing turned into everything.
Wow. That's amazing.
So you got your one thing there. It's a long story. We'll cut it down. But the thing is that you truly can only start at one. You might end up doing 100 things, 1,000. Jay-Z's a billionaire. You start at one, a dollar. You start at step one. You start at dollar one. You start at day one. You start at night one. And you, because what happens is motherfuckers make a little bit of money and it goes everywhere but back into the business.
Absolutely.
But you saw that and you said, I need a piece. I need a place. And that is, other than the Valentino jacket, is the best thing that you could have ever put your hands on, because cats are actors, cats are theater, cats are movies, cats are writers, playwrights. And when they're in the mix, they don't work harder. And when it's over, because it ends, they don't have anything to put their hands on. They don't have a house. Don't have, maybe they lose a house, maybe they're divorced, maybe they're this, and they look back and think, I made a ton of mistakes. And you only get one real good round through. Like baseball players will come up, they'll be rookies and they'll be striking everybody out the first time around. Then when they come back around again, they'll be bombing motherfuckers. They'll be like, we already seen you. Right. So you get one good trip. Now, for the last, I don't know, 10 minutes, about 15 minutes, you're in the position where you're gold, man. You got that spot. You got that footage. You can do, what can you do there? Everything. Production, plays,
George,
shows.
I want to be an incubator for all these creators that don't have the outlet, don't have the money. My staff is young, diverse. And they're all, it's all a waste. All these people out there are doing things they hate, barely getting by. And I swear to you, I went all in with this. Like, literally everything.
I think the incubator is a good name, too. I don't know if we have a name, but that's a good name.
You like
it? The incubator is a great name because it's got to start somewhere. When you ain't ready, you go in the incubator. And when you come out of the incubator, you might have been underweight. They put you in the incubator, put you under the light. They take care of you. Then you grow in the incubator. And then when you come out, you're like, yo, man, I'll never forget you. Boom. I appreciate it. Take a little, you know, we're using the incubator.
Yeah, man.
Give me the story. Give me the story, man.
Well, the real story, before I say that real quick, first of all, I respect you. You're a pioneer in the industry to me, to a lot of people that I respect. You stay true to your heart. The last time I saw you was at Westbury Music Fair, man. You killed it in Long Island.
That was awesome.
Killed it.
That dude was married to the white dude was married to a Mexican chick. He was sitting there. I go,
motherfuckers, like, you remember that?
I got it. They're fucking mad. I said, listen, man, I know you don't want to be here. I know she's made you come here. This motherfucker's out here like this. Like,
that's right.
All blasted all those young kids and shit. I was a fucking good one, man. That started hot and it was going.
I seen you, you know, but that one, you killed it. I was like, beautiful. So anyway, dude, I respect you. I respect your movement, everything, and guys like you are, you know, top five for me as a motivator. And
about me, man. Go ahead, Adrian.
But your reputation.
But I feel you, man. I appreciate it.
So my story is, I was an independent rapper, singer, producer. I traveled. Boom. I opened up for every big artist. I was that grinder, much like Pitbull.
You want to say the names or no? You don't want to say the names or no? Because I want people to have an idea of what. Where you been?
I mean, I opened up
for
Snoop Dogg. I opened up for Wyclef. I opened up for some of the biggest artists in the business. And quite frankly, I had some singles on all the radio stations, top 10. But my story is, I was independent. And I got shut down by program directors because I wasn't attached to the major label that was feeding them big money. And I thought I could do this independent. I got major deals offered, the 10-year, 10-album, whatever comes first, the slavery deals. And I didn't take it because I was always a hustler. And I said, I'm not going to stop what I'm doing to be a slave. So I spent.
You think you should have taken it? You think you should have taken it looking back?
Looking back, I should have sold my soul, did my 10 years, and then I would have been on top of the world. But I felt good about myself. I would have never had my kids. So, I love my kids. I was able to support my family. What if that 10 years I didn't make any money like any real artist? They don't make money. All that videos. So I was able to support a lot of family because nobody made money in my family. So I don't regret it at all. Anyway, I had every bad break in the business. I've been screwed over a million times by everybody. And then I ended up going to myself and saying, let me just grind hard. I flipped businesses. I flipped some small real estate. I flipped cars. I flipped chancletas. I flipped everything and saved my money, built some wealth, and then just put it all in this big 6,000 square foot film set, editing suites, commercial recording studio. So everything can be done here. Now, everything in today's world is who you know, who you're associated with. So no matter what I come up with, I don't get doors. It's very hard. So that's why I reached out to you. I actually reached out to Pitbull. He saw this cartoon. That's the number one platform right now. It's called One Too Many. All right. It's a very mainstream Latino family, mixed culture Latino. But it's the holdout family on the upper, you know, the Upper East Side. It's in this one shit building. And it's got Flaco's Tacos still at the bottom. He's the little, you know, the Mexican, the guy with the heart. We got Chinese in the building. We got African American. We got a gay couple. It shows diversity, but through the eyes of a Latino family, which is way more funnier, way more robust, way more musical. So I showed it to Pitbull. He loves it. And he's trying to figure out an angle of how to make it all work with his world. I needed someone like you. Listen, you're busy. If you're too busy, if you could just do a voice, if you could do Flaco Taco, who is just, if you could do the cat, who's mixed, the
I'll do it.
Mexican cat.
Okay, listen. I'm gonna do the Flacco.
Yeah.
Okay. And I'm gonna ask Cheech to do the cat, because you know he can do it on his phone or whatever. But I'll say, I'll tell him the one thing story. Remember it. And I said, listen, man, we're gonna help this dude out. Or I could do the voice too. So you know about it. So if he does it, I'll use his voice. What's his name?
Use his voice. You like
it. So that's good. That's good. So and how far along written? You just have it as a treatment, as a story thing?
I'll share it now. Let me see if I can share it through this.
You know, like me, when I wasn't really that known in Mexico, and they were like, nobody really knows you here. And I said, listen, man, I don't give a fuck if anybody knows me here, as long as everybody knows me in the United States. I'm not from here.
I didn't even know that.
So I'm from LA, and today I went to a UPS driver and said, motherfucker turned around, he went, hey, fucking like that, like just visually. So that's, I'll take that
right
all day.
That's beautiful.
That's how you get business done. Motherfuckers out there trying to, you know, 30 years trying to do shit. You know how tough it is. So
I do.
Yeah. So do you have a label?
I have everything set up. I got the logistics set up as far as branding. I got the staff to really make things happen. It's very expensive to do animation, but I have them. I vetted people out for 3 years. So I have a professional crew that I can't use on a daily basis, obviously. Everything's very expensive. But I've done enough material to get people interested, and I need the attachments, and that's why I'm not afraid to give people a piece. This is business.
I know. You have lawyers and stuff? You have a lawyer and all that?
I have an entertainment lawyer. I have everything in place.
But okay.
I know the hard part. I need the attachments, and I really appreciate you even just give me that quick blessing, and I'll prove to you I'm very good at business. I'm very good at speaking to people. I'm very good at organizing people. But this is more. This show, I think, is my monster, but it's just one. I have a lot of things, George, and I don't want to kill you with a lot, but I have a whole slew of MTV. Like, remember how MTV was with very creative game shows, music-oriented? I got that whole flavor back. No one ever did a deaf comedy jam right with Latinos. I know they did a local slam with Paul Rodriguez back in the 90s.
It was pretty good, though. It was a good, that show had a lot of guys that became successful, but
yes. What
it didn't have is the producers weren't Latino, so to them it didn't matter if it succeeded or
they didn't care.
Like, they fucked everything up.
Right.
And especially when Mike Robles, the guy who hosted it, who's very sick, these days, but he was good, he was good. But they had a lot of talent,
They did.
They went for the cash grab instead of grounding it and doing more episodes, because then cable really came and it would have been, it would have been what it was doing. It wasn't even on any, I don't even know what channel it was on, and it always did well.
Right.
No,
it was they great. And I think it was missing sketch comedy, and that's what was the secret sauce of In Living Color, the Chappelle Show. And I feel like there has never been a real Latino sketch comedy. But guess what? On the internet, you see, I know on your Instagram, there is so much sketch comedy Latinos are doing. I want to harness them all on one show.
You just, on TikTok, they just take all my material. They take material they do from different movies. But mine is like, my daughter told me, do you realize what they're doing with your material and stuff? And I'm like, no. She showed me. I'm like, holy shit. Her and I did one that got 5 million maybe. And then Constance and I did one from the show, and that got like 6 million. And so I agree with you. I think that you can.
I want to corral it. Remember Joel McHale in Talk Soup?
Yeah.
You know, the 2.0 guy?
Yeah.
So I say a sit-down host. A sit-down host and just compiling the best sketches on the social media platforms, but also bring them to the stage. Bring them here. And then we'll also go with the best of the week. And there are tons. They're getting 5 million followers of these two people in a project. Literally. Couples.
Who is that?
They're just random couples that are getting tons of views, but nobody is harnessing it.
You know anyone's name? So we go
Sancocho with these two girls. They do these silly sketches, and they act like men in some of them. They're amazing, and they're just these down low underground nobodies that are doing.
Have you reached out to them? Have you reached out?
I tried. They don't even respond.
Oh, you probably would have then.
You can't do stand-up.
I think of the beginning of Wam Too Many. Is that a cat that's in the front?
Yeah.
The cat claws the food and milk comes out. He lays under the bag.
You're an animal. That's perfect.
He's going like that, and he just goes like that, like, fat, and it comes out of five things, and maybe him and his friends are milk.
That's a good idea on the way in. Yeah, he's real smart. In, that's a great idea.
She walks by, and she stops. And they get in, and she's walking. She can even lift one just like that, just that little move. As she walks in, she's like, and they're just walking, you know.
That's a great idea. Now, he actually delivered Flacco's. She ordered Flacco's taco. So the cat delivered the tacos in the bag. But, yeah, you're right. He gives the bag. Then he goes underneath, takes some milk. Great idea. And that cat, the cat and the parrot, you know, that's the little, you know, they have their little. You know, the parrot's name is Coño, you know, like. Coño. We'll do it in a way that's not too.
It's a Coño. I think the lady should be fucking Ana Navarro.
Yeah.
You know Ana Navarro from CNN?
No.
The political person, because she said to me, she goes, listen, every time I fucking talk to her, she tells me, when you hosted the Latin Grammy, you were not funny. I did not laugh a whole fucking time. And I'm like, all right. She goes, because, you know, we're Cubans. You know, we don't know about working hard. We don't know about, you know, you're talking about growing up poor. We didn't grow up poor. Cabrona, then fucking yesterday, I said, the fucking bubble popped up. Then you went to fucking New York and L.A. And now she's like, oh, I get it. Now her husband, you know, Al, fucking they were watching my special on HBO. He's laughing. And she's like, what are you laughing at? There's George. And she goes, now I get it. Now I get it. Like, people... Yeah, the fucking bubble popped. They had to come out of that fucking capsule.
That's funny.
We do a little thing back and forth, and it works because she's opinionated. She speaks Spanish. She cooks. She has all the stuff. She plays music. Yesterday, she went like this. She's like, find Mark Anthony. She was like this.
She's crazy. That's good. See, you know that stuff. I don't have any plugs, and the more influential people we get involved, it's a hit overnight.
Because everybody's trying to do voice. They can do it in their house. You can do it on a fucking, this little fucking ball microphone. Like, you can, it's
so doable.
And people always say, like, they always say to me, like, how did you start? You start with the fucking one, that four lines. In Beverly Hills Chihuahua. $10,000, four lines. That's turned crazy. Into the whole movie, three movies, two Smurfs, two Rios, Marmaduke, Sharkboy and Lava Girl. Wow. Fucking, what else?
You don't know.
Turned into all that. And then the voice, now everybody remember. Every little kid, there's a little kid crying, and he's like, he doesn't know who you are. And I said, hey, have you ever seen Beverly Hills Chihuahua? And he looks at me, I said, have you seen Beverly Hills Chihuahua? And he's like, and he goes, I told you. I go, come on, let me talk to you. And he's like that. I said, you ever see Rio? It's the same fucking voice. And then all of a sudden, you know, you ever see the Smurfs? He loves the Smurfs. And I do the grouchy Smurf, and now that fucking kid is on my lap. I go, get him off my lap before I got to. Yeah, you come to the right place, man.
Oh.
I'm not going to say who, but I had somebody very influential help me at a time when it came down to, like I always say, the fucking rubber meets the road. It's like somebody took some interest, and they said to me, I wasn't even going to, how about not going? I wasn't going to go to the meeting. And my manager calls me and says, on your way? And I was hitting golf balls in fucking Studio City at Whitsitt.
Oh, shit.
And I just gotten there. And I said, I'm not going. And he goes, what do you mean you're not going? I said, I'm not going. And then he's like, why not? And I remember moving away from where people could hear me. And I go, listen, I said, what are they going to do for me? I said, what are they going to do for me? What are they going to do? Fucking whatever. He's like, listen, they called, they took your lunch order, they're expecting you at 1:00. Fucking leave wherever you are and go over there. I went over there, I sat with a person 3 hours, 2.5 hours, made notes. But all my family members, it was the original meeting of my show.
Wow.
And as this person was laughing and we're eating, very casual, and I was like another person. Like, I wasn't shy, I wasn't held back, and you know, so we're walking down the stairs, walking me out. and she gets to the door, and the door, I go first. And then I hit the door, and the door, you know, you push the door, and it's a security, and the door opens. And I stop there, my car is underneath, and I go, hey, listen, what you're going to try to do has never been done successfully in the history of television. I just want to tell you right now, wherever we go from here, I just want to tell you, thank you. I said, thank you. And she goes, listen, why don't you worry about being funny, and why don't you let me worry about all that? And she goes, I'll see you later on. And fucking, I got in the car, I started crying in that fucking car light. And that's two things I would have said no to. And there were two things that changed my life. Wow. 10 years. Okay, so 89, I did a movie. 99, 2000, I did Bread and Roses, Ken Loach. 2000, I was on the radio in LA. That's three things. And the fourth thing I got was my show.
Amazing.
And everything, man, after that.
You're blessed, man. But you started with the one thing. You did hard work.
One thing and hard work.
Yeah.
I started with the one thing.
And your grandma. I know you had some motivation, right?
What?
All kinds of motivation.
I fucking still do her voice upstairs with it's just me. I
guess. You're like Norman Bates.
Oh, fucking in there. They're like, who's in there? Like, I cremated her because I wanted to keep her around. I could just see her up there, fucking ashes just floating around. Son of a bitch! like you know when bees fly, they fucking not together. Fucking shit! That was her word. Fucking shit. So yeah, man. So let's do that. All right.
I really appreciate your everything, George.
I don't do nothing, and that's real, man. That's real talk. That's not bullshit. We'll get as soon as you set it up. We'll put all the parts in motion, man.
Now, I don't want to get ahead of myself. What should I... I mean, to me, Pitbull's a good music guy. And
you know Pitbull.
Oh, you do? Beautiful.
But you ask him, as that motherfucker says, I don't have time to fucking move on, eh?
He said he's down. He loves it.
All right. Well, then we know people that know him. I know him. And then, Pitbull's... Matter of fact, Enrique Iglesias brought Pitbull on my talk show and said to me, Enrique said, hey, man, listen, you have 5 minutes at the end of my second segment that I can bring a friend of mine out. And it was Pitbull.
Wow.
And he was talking and his cheek was like that, you know.
Wow.
They had that song together and then Bieber too, before show.
Wow.
So you're in good hands, man. And for me too, like, you know, the person that helped me was at a time when it had been so much about that person said, I needed to step back. It was perfect timing. So that person said, I needed to step back because I was overwhelmed by my career. So I stepped back and focused on you, and you had the excitement that I had when I first started, and seeing you excited about everything re-excited me.
Wow.
And there was somebody in the family that, you know, wasn't around, and then you could just see the, you know, two people that she was looking for something and I was getting something for the first time. Mm. Amazing.
Timing's everything, you know.
That person was David Duke. No.
David Duke.
Yeah, right. Okay, Waylon Jennings. Yo, come on, Waylon Jennings. How come he stopped coming over? Oh, that's a good reason.
You're crazy.
So you got that thing. Where's our girl at? Is she here?
She's like hiding in there. You know, there she is.
Hey.
Hi.
How do we do?
You guys did very well. That was the longest call I've had by a mile, but it sounded like a productive call.
Motherfuckers out here, they have 15 minutes. Let me know when there's 2 minutes. I talked for the first 15 minutes. But it all makes sense, right? All legit, man.
It's great.
It's all real. I don't make shit up. So I say shit, it's like,
no, you really? Done
it. Or I've seen, or not even seen somebody do it. I've fucking done it.
I appreciate all your time, and now, man, I feel blessed.
The email.
I'm going.
She's witness, and let's get to this business, man.
Beautiful. Thank you, George. I appreciate your time.
All right, brother. And your help, man. Hey, let's make this thing happen, huh?
Oh, beautiful. I love those words, man. Thank you.
All right, you might have to change tacos to chingon tacos.
Tacos.
All right, bro. All right. Thanks, sir.
Ciao.